This is the BrianMadden.com podcast number 133. Today's podcast is a special edition, so I should point out that we are here sponsored by Google and the Android Enterprise Group. And my guest here to talk about Android Enterprise is Sean Ginnivan. Sean, hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. This is very exciting to have you with us today because we've done all sorts of both editorial and sponsored podcasts before. But so in your role, you're responsible for a lot of the strategy around Android Enterprise. So all our questions about like how the platform works or how we think it should work, we can take those to you, right?
Yeah, there you go. I will do my best to answer all the questions that you guys have.
Well, so tell me what you actually do. Like, are you, if I really want a feature, can I ask you?
So our team is ultimately responsible for the ecosystem as a whole, right? So we work with the AirWatches and the Mobile Irons and the Microsofts of the world, and we build a lot of the management and security features that enterprises care about. That's what our product team does. The go-to-market team where I sit, you know, works a lot with the ecosystem to ensure their success and their health. And that's expanded also not just to the EMMs, but also carriers and resellers, recently large-scale platform providers like SAP. And so, you know, when folks ask, well, hey, can I get a feature in? We're always open to hearing feedback. A lot of that feedback doesn't come directly to Google. It actually comes in through those large partners and even small partners who say, hey, I've got a client who is using our EMM to deploy this particular application. Could this work a little bit better? Or we have this idea. And so certainly we're always receptive to that feedback.
Okay. Well,
so you also have my cell phone number, so you know, you can always bother me directly.
Yeah. Well, so there's a lot going on right now. But real quick, also give us the 30-second version of how you ended up doing this, because I met you first when you were working at Mobile Iron, and I know you did that a number of years. So you've been on the EMM side for a while. But what other path did you take into this?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've worked in mobile for quite some time. I actually was on your side of the fence. I was working for Network Computing and Information Week as a journalist covering enterprise mobility, and then took a role with Cisco, worked in the Cisco Systems Enterprise Mobility Group, mainly on the Wi-Fi and networking infrastructure side of it.
And is this like pre or post modern smartphone?
Wow. So I guess if you define the modern smartphone as something like a Palm Trio, then it would be pre. If you're defining it as the iPhone, then it would be post if you're defining it as Windows Mobile, and pre if you're defining it as the iPhone.
Yeah, I'm definitely guilty of having been in this role writing about mobile since 2011 when I started at TechTarget doing this. Like, I'm beyond the iPhone is kind of ancient history to me.
Right, exactly. So but anyway, so I ended up at Cisco. A lot of the Mobile Iron co-founders were at Cisco as well, and so that's how I met them and joined Mobile Iron. Was in the EMM world for quite some time, in kind of growing up with the iPhone. We started in 2009 at Mobile Iron, and
that's before the over-the-air MDM protocol. You have configuration profiles and active sync only.
Correct. And you know, and a lot of wired tethering. And so yeah, so that's how I met a lot of the team at Google. And was thinking about, yeah, I've been at Mobile Iron for 8 years, I guess, and was thinking about kind of what other new opportunities were out there and kind of wanted to do things that were also in mobile, and ended up here.
Well, so and now let's talk a little bit about what is going on in at Google with Android for right now. I think probably all of our audience or most of our audience hopefully is familiar with what Android Enterprise is and the state of Android management back in the device admin days, and OEMs add in all their own APIs, and along comes Android Enterprise in 2014 when it was Android for work or Android work. And that's, if you don't mind giving us a little bit, because that came out of the, a lot of that came out of the Entreproid acquisition. Is that correct? Or?
So the team certainly that formed a lot of the, what was then the Android for work team, came out of Entreproid and Divide. And ultimately, if you think about what Divide was a SDK, an application-based approach toward providing data segmentation. How do you allow for BYOD, allow people to bring their corporate data, their personal data, their personal applications, and make sure that corporate data is still protected. And with Lollipop, there was an opportunity to do that in the platform and ultimately make that an operating system feature. So Lollipop introduced the first set of features that we now know as Android Enterprise, what was then called Android for Work. And it introduced core concepts like the work profile, which brought that idea of containerization and separating work data from personal, not into an application approach or like an SDK or a wrapper, but actually in the platform. And that was really powerful because it allowed any application to be containerized. I could run a whole suite of just anything. And it could be Salesforce, it could be SAP, it could be Evernote. Like lots of folks, there were lots of applications that were in the Google Play ecosystem that weren't necessarily absorbing SDKs and wrappers. And so that work profile concept, I think, is what ignited a lot of the journey that we're on today.
Yeah, yeah. And this is, by the way, probably something that even today I'm still having plenty of conversations talking about the differences between having that container built into the operating system versus having the containerization built into the apps. And these were some of the big conversations that we've been having in this industry over the last few years. So, and of course, I also couldn't help but thinking, as you were mentioning the introduction of work profile around then, the previous efforts, of course, there was Knox 2.0, which was, I think that was earlier, was it 2013 or 2014? And other OEM-specific efforts, like various efforts at actually virtualizing Android devices and putting two VMs or guest corporate VM on a device. And there was 3LM, but did 3LM have any work personal separation stuff, or is that more just...
That was mainly device specific, like hardware controls, if my memory serves.
Yeah, yeah. Any ideas? So 3LM, for those of in the audience and that may not be familiar, and I know I'm getting into like a past historical hole, but that was a little bit earlier, and I know it was led by a couple of different vendors in the industry, basically attempting to do an earlier version of what Android Enterprise became.
I think ultimately when you start to go down the rabbit hole of history, right, the biggest challenge that Android faced prior to Lollipop was that there were a lot of vendor-specific approaches toward managing Android devices and toward providing security, both from a hardware control of security and a data control of security. And that obviously, I think, led to the idea for a lot of enterprises just that Android was hard. That there were just, what do I choose? Do I choose devices that supported 3LM's stuff? Do I support Samsung Safe? And these feel very kind of sort of equivalent, but they're different. And which EMMs are picking those features up? And then when you start to look at containerization, certainly there was Knox. There were other folks who were starting to look at user-based account separation. And then, obviously all of the VM-based approaches as well. So I think the work that we've done at Google by bringing this into the platform and driving that consistency is allowing enterprises to adopt the platform with confidence. And I think, that's why we, are spending so much time as a team certainly engaging with enterprise customers, but also engaging with the ecosystem to make sure that we're building the right thing. And ultimately such that the devices you choose can be brought in with confidence that they'll have that consistency of framework underneath. And I think we've actually been successful at that. If you look at like Android Go, which relaunched at Mobile World Congress this year, Android Go is really targeted out toward emerging markets. You can buy a $50 device unlocked in India.
And that will support all of the same... Even having a work profile and everything.
So that doesn't support a work profile, but it can actually be supported as a fully managed device. The memory requirements aren't high enough for it to support work profile, but you can still bring that device under management and bring it in as a fully managed device, use Manage Play, all those features are supported. And so I think in that regard, we've been successful at making sure that the systems are that there's consistency across the ecosystem. It's also one of the reasons why we've launched things like Enterprise Recommended, because now that there's such diversity out there, enterprises are asking us, great, all the things are managed. Okay, how do I know what I can adopt with confidence?
Okay. So there are a couple of different things to unpack in there. So you mentioned a little. Originally, I was asking a little bit about the history of 3LM, and of course, Android Work as it was at the time. That was 2014-ish and initial versions on Lollipop. So clearly, you know, maybe like the EMM wonks in the world, and like in 2014, I was probably like, yay, about time. But the reality was that it was still pretty early in the whole scheme of EMM and enterprise mobility. And so it seems like the timing was right.
Yeah, no, I think the timing was right. And I think we've been super grateful that the ecosystem has followed us down that journey to say, you know, that ultimately the enterprise matters. Because I think I actually get this question, having joined Google, more often than I thought I would, which is, does Google care about enterprise? Considering, you know, particularly on Android and with the search tool sets being so consumer-focused. And if you think about even Play, like Play is a very consumer-focused, YouTube is very consumer-focused. And so I do get that question, like, you know, how much are you guys caring about enterprise? And it's absolutely a focus area.
And I think I can answer this one for you. As I really took note, it was a year ago at Cloud Next 17 when Diane Greene is up on stage, and I'm just thinking, like, Diane Greene, of course, like, she's got to be able to get the Google Cloud team meetings anywhere, anywhere they want meetings. I'm sure she opens all those doors. And then a few weeks ago, Kyle and I spent the week at Cloud Next 18, and just the number of sessions and announcements and everything, and the feeling that I have and that a lot of that I heard from other analysts is like, this is real. They get it. So in my mind, that's an answered question, but I can certainly understand how you get that question a lot. And so to those people, I'd say, like, just go check out some of the video sessions from Cloud Next. So that brings me to the next question. So you're talking about how it's Android Enterprise support and capabilities are everywhere. And that's probably one of the next top questions that somebody has, because they are going to be wondering what version of the operating system it's in, and if my device isn't getting primary operating system updates as often as I would like it, well, what does my device currently support? So first, I guess let's just say, like, base minimum versions and device requirements for like for work profiles and all the things that we would consider when we think of a like typical office worker EMM deployment.
Yeah, so I think if you look at this from the raw technical perspective, Lollipop and above will support the Android Enterprise framework. And where we ultimately see a lot of the enterprise focus is certainly Nougat and above. I wouldn't go rushing out trying to scour eBay looking for, you know, devices running Lollipop just because it will technically work. We really see folks looking toward Nougat and above as the baseline requirement. And I think now with Pi out, we're starting to see folks kind of pivot that toward Oreo and above.
Well, and the question is, as I always framed it, like, if I'm an IT admin, and especially if I'm considering doing BYOD, because obviously if we're doing corporate libel, then maybe it's, you know, a fleet of the devices that they're going to be the, you know, handheld point of sale. Well, we're buying those, sure. So we can make sure that they have the specs that we need. But on the BYOD side, in 2018, and one of the ways that I'm thinking about this is, well, since it's been like 3.5 years or 3 years since Marshmallow and 2 years since Nougat, and assuming that a lot of my typical enterprise users probably replace their phones on average every 2 years. So yep. I'm assuming that in a typical enterprise, you should be able to go out and any one of the BYOD users at this point
is probably running, you know, Nougat and above, particularly in developed economies. And I think that's accurate. And I think one of the things when I talk to enterprise customers that I always coach them on is BYOD does not mean bring your own everything. You know, you can still, as the organization, set the criteria to say, here is the minimum specifications and versioning that we expect. And you can also set the, you know, here are the, frankly, the behaviors we expect.
Yeah, yeah. And these are conversations that we've had in the EMM space, just sure. like for as long as I've been in the EMM space, like, what does BYOD really mean? And things like that.
I don't think repetition spoils the prayer in this particular case.
Yeah.
And so I certainly continue to maintain that viewpoint. And I think, you know, I've certainly seen you guys at BrianMadden.com write about that as well. But so to that end, certainly I think when you start to look at BYOD, looking a couple versions back and saying, you know, a 2 to 3 year refresh cycle is the right thing to do, seems to me to be reasonable.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the other reasons why, you know, you started to allude to the idea of, well, will, if a user picks up a particular device, will they get both dessert and security updates in a reasonable fashion? And broadly across the ecosystem, I think we're seeing improved behavior and the number of security, you know, devices receiving the latest security updates has increased multifold over the last year. So, but it's also, you know, enterprises, frankly, are looking for stronger guidance. And so I alluded to this idea of enterprise recommended earlier. It's why we launched that program to say, okay, if you're either starting a corp liable program, or frankly, if you're doing BYOD and you want to say, here are the devices you can choose, you know, you as end users can choose to bring inside the organization. Here's a set of both vendors and devices that are known to work and that are certified by Google to be compliant. And we've already seen folks like HSBC and SAS come out and say, like, this is the shortlist. This is going to be the shortlist of how we define our enterprise mobility programs. And so I think that's good for the industry.
Yeah, yeah. And so for listeners that may not be familiar, so the program is called Android Enterprise Recommended. We'll put a link to it in the show notes. There are, what, 30 or 40 devices in it today or something like that. Well, the link will be in the show notes, so you can go and check and see what's there now. So this is, I understand it, it's minimum specifications and a commitment towards updated maintenance from the OEMs?
Or? Yeah, so the program started with a few core concepts. One was we wanted it to be opt-in. So of the 200 plus OEMs that support Android and have certified devices by Google, we wanted to go out of the ecosystem and say, you know, many of you make devices for a variety of reasons. Who among you want to actually focus on the enterprise ecosystem? And so I think it's 13 different OEMs have stepped forward. Folks like, you know, Huawei, Nokia, Motorola have all gone through and said, we want to focus on this market and we want to bring compliant devices to market. So then the question becomes, what's compliant? And so there is a minimum set of criteria for hardware. In other words, things like RAM and CPU, because we want to make sure the devices are performant. You brought up the idea of a work profile earlier. And, you know, Android Go is an example. Can, you know, build great functioning devices, but the RAM's not high enough to support the work profile. So we don't want to, you know, have devices that can't run the work profile in the program yet. So there's that. And there's also minimum behavioral requirements. So a big chunk of that is security updates. So a minimum of 3 years worth of security updates, as well as at least one dessert upgrade. Mm-hmm. And I think, and for your listeners,
dessert upgrade, for those not in
yeah,
the,
I was just,
in the
I was
Android
just about
lingo.
To say. So we look at operating system updates in a couple different ways. Unlike other platforms in the market,
the other platform.
There's lots of mobility platforms out there. Every security updates and feature updates are often tied together. And so we actually separate those apart. So you can be running on Android 8.0 and be getting security updates, even though Android 9.0 and all the latest and greatest features is what's the most current out there in the market.
Yeah,
on my Pixel.
And this is something that's been happening for almost 2 years or so. And any user today, you can go and look and see when you got your last monthly security update. And right. I think the Android security year in review blog post, at least maybe last year's had like some facts and figures like, oh, X percentage of flagship devices from the major carriers in the US had security patches within the last 3 months.
Right. And so we on the enterprise recommended side, we look at that as a you'll get security updates at least every 90 days. Obviously, whether it's monthly or quarterly, it kind of depends on what carriers you're on and what devices you have. But the point here is that provides that level of confidence from a performance perspective. It also provides, we look at things like enrollment. So making sure that the enrollment workflows are similar across all the different devices in the program, and restricting the number of default system apps. Like we don't want EA Madden Sports Football pre-installed on every enterprise device. Like, and that was actually feedback from our customers.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and then the final requirement is that the devices must be available unlocked. So, certainly you can buy devices through the carrier channel, but we also wanted to make sure enterprises that wanted that ability to more easily switch providers and whatnot could buy those devices unlocked in the market. So that's sort of the program at a high level.
But if I'm an admin or I'm working on my organization's mobility strategy, though, and I look at my fleet of devices, especially, again, BYOD, where who knows what could be out there, certainly in my environment, I'll find that a lot that are not on the list. And so this isn't to say that all those other environments should still support Android Enterprise and work profiles and everything. It's just that these are the ones that you extra know will work.
Correct. Well, so I think the way to think about it is this way. There's what's in your fleet today, and then there's what is the criteria you're trying to set for tomorrow. And so when I talk to customers, they say, well, what about all the stuff that's out there already? And so the good news for this is because we've had Android Enterprise out there as a management framework for years, you'll have a high degree of confidence that the stuff that's already out there can be brought under management, can have applications deployed, can be tied into things like Manage Play.
And we should specify here that since 6.0, it's been required to support it.
Correct. Correct.
So it's not to not support it. A device, would the OEM have to like go in and strip it out, or would they even pass their?
It's part of the compatibility definition that you support Android Enterprise from Android 6.
And so this is for like any phones that have the like a gig of memory or higher.
Well, it's actually for any device running Play.
Okay.
Has to have the Android Enterprise framework in it. Now, that's for fully managed. It may not support, like I mentioned before, certain devices with less than a gig of RAM, or it might be 2 gigs. I don't remember what the memory requirement is for work profile. But certain low memory devices will be exempt from having a work profile supported because it can't run two user accounts simultaneously.
Right.
And I'll go into like the architecture of a work profile in a little bit.
But let's say like in North America or EMEA, that's probably many of the BYOD users have devices that
I think if we uplevel this conversation to be, If I in the last 2 to 3 years, if I've picked up a device from Verizon, will it be supportable from an Android Enterprise perspective? That will give. I'm confident that I can give you an overwhelming yes.
Okay,
and I think
okay.
I would say that from broadly for all of the markets. You know, if you've picked up a device from one of the major carriers, it should be supported. The where the carve outs happen is where you're talking about super low end devices in emerging markets where those devices can be supported. They may not support work profile and supporting data segmentation.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Got it. So that's a good way of putting it. So I think we can put a bow on this part of the conversation. Again, progressing towards. You know, what's my average admin that's thinking about getting into Android Enterprise? management for the first time. So the other thing that people might hear is, okay, well, to create these Google accounts and like, what's my connection to Google and to manage Play, and what are all the things that we have to wire together in order to start a deployment?
Sure. So with looking at this from today, because there's a lot of history there, but as you look at this from today, you do not need to be a Google Cloud customer, so a G Suite customer, if you will, to use Android Enterprise. You do need to have a Google, like a Gmail account, to activate a device. And if it's for BYOD, obviously, you know, you need to type in some sort of credential to get the device activated. For corporate liable devices, you don't. You can actually use accounts that are created by your EMM, and that will actually, the user is just typing in their corporate credentials, and then we have hooks to basically tie that device into Manage Play and Play Services to make the device work. So it used to be that you had to have a Google account, and in a lot of cases, like in the really early days, you had to have a G Suite account to make things work. But now we've basically worked with the EMMs to say, if you're doing BYOD, obviously you need to activate the device for your own personal uses,
right,
and you'll need a Gmail account to do that. And if you're doing Corp Liable, you can actually handle all that identity management directly through the EMM. And so the user just types in their corporate credentials.
And my EMM should have, so bottom line, if I have an EMM that's reasonably up to date on its support for all of Android Enterprise, all that plumbing should be basically taken care of.
Yeah, for sure. And activation can be done a variety of different ways. And you can do that through QR code. You can do that through, you know, NFC. You can do it through, handing out instructions to your users. And then we recently launched Zero Touch, which basically you can think of that as, I'm buying large numbers of devices from, for example, my carrier, and I want them to be automatically enrolled into management. That's another supported option as well.
Okay, so next step, I'm my admin, and I want to get my basic client apps pushed down. I don't know, my Concur, my Salesforce, my Box, or Google Drive, or whatever you have. So then, what, I'm getting into Manage Google Play?
Sure. So now you've got users out there, so I think it's actually important to note that whether you're doing BYOD or whether you're doing corporate liable, you can provision the device to do what you want. So that means that even if you don't have...
Hey, that sounds great.
because I think one of the misnomers, when we often talk about work profile, we say, hey, you as an organization for BYOD, all you're doing is managing the apps. There's a concept in the technical side of things called profile owner. And what that means is IT only has control, the ability to add and delete applications on the device, as well as when they wipe the device, they can't fully wipe it. They only can wipe the corporate data. So that idea of containerization is really part of the ethos, frankly, of the operating system design.
And I want to get into some of the specifics of how that container and what it can and can't do in a few minutes.
So what I wanted to mention is because of that, what we also allow you to do is provision the hardware settings necessary for that device to actually work. So as an example, I need a certificate to access the Wi-Fi network, or I want to provision the Wi-Fi SSID. You can do that even if all you're doing is managing the corporate apps on the device. So the provisioning side of it is supportable through your EMM.
And you're managing the corporate apps because the device has been enrolled in a work profile has been
installed, and then
you're pushing into the work profile.
Yeah. So now you're to address your question directly, I want to go and deploy corporate applications to my device. So depending on how you've set up the device, actually irrespective of how you've set up the device, your device has access to Manage Play. So Manage Play is our version of allowing your enterprise to build a corporate app store.
So I could use Manage Play even with completely unmanaged devices.
So the device will need to have either a work profile or be a fully managed device.
Oh, okay.
The So when you go through and want to deploy corporate applications, you have a couple different choices. You can deploy applications from Google Play. So to your point, the Salesforces and the SAPs and the Concurs and the Boxes and the G Suites of the world and the Office 365 apps do. Anything commercially available on Google Play, you can deliver onto the device, and you can deliver onto the device silently. Those applications are going to either go into a work profile, or on a fully managed device, you can say, no, I only want work apps there. Don't allow for anything personal. But the point is you can go and deliver those applications to get the user productive. You can also deliver in-house applications using Google Play. So you can, through your EMM, upload applications you build, and you can decide to distribute those applications either using the Google Play infrastructure. In other words, you can rely on us to be the CDN, so your users in Singapore are downloading locally and not trying to go all the way back to your corporate headquarters in the U.S. Or you can deliver those applications locally from your EMM or other app distribution server.
And so it'll essentially point that device or that work profile back to your local server.
Yeah, correct.
So if you don't want your APK to be anywhere in Google's infrastructure.
Correct. You can just distribute it from your own infrastructure should you choose. So that's obviously the way we tackle the application provisioning side of it. It's also worth noting that one of the areas we've really focused on as a company is app security. Not just the segmentation side of it. Like, how do I make sure that my Salesforce data doesn't spill over into Dropbox?
Or personal Dropbox.
Or my personal Dropbox data ends up in, my work systems.
So that's a question then of what policies are available for moving data in and out of a work profile.
Right. So in a case where you want to allow the end user to run their own personal applications, the work profile allows you to basically define that boundary between what's corporate and what's personal. So unlike on iOS, as an example, let's assume a user wants to bring Gmail. They want to have their personal Gmail account and their work Gmail account. Today in a lot of these kind of what I would call a prosumer application, it is both work and personal. You end up with one app on the device in platforms like iOS. And that's tricky, right? Because now you can technically move data like from one account to the other, unless that application has policies within it to decide where the data can go.
And then you need some other way to interact with those policies, by the way.
Right.
Maybe it's built into the platform, and so it gets.
And
so
I'm no iOS expert, but obviously yes, there's a lot of different iOS approaches on that because the operating system doesn't have that containerization natively. But what we've done in Android is to say the work profile is actually a separate user account on the device. So what that means is if you want to install Gmail on your personal side, and on the work side you're using Gmail to access not just G Suite or corporate Gmail, you can actually use it as an Exchange client if you want.
Right.
What that means is because the applications are sitting separately, side by side on the device, you can set by policy that the data can't intermingle at all. And so you literally, the way to think about it is like on Mac or Windows, when you switch from user account A to user account B, the storage is separate. We've implemented that on Android in the same way.
It's like having two different phones.
It's exactly like having two different phones. And so you literally, and we've actually gone through starting in NuGet, I believe, to encrypt the data separately. So the data is actually encrypted with separate encryption keys for work versus personal.
Okay, so that's one. So I mentioned that I had a bunch of questions about the mechanics of a work profile, and that was one of them. So I'm thinking from this perspective of Joe BYOD user that's a real pain in the admin side because they have all these questions. And first of all, one of them is, I don't want to have a passcode on my phone. I like to just just swipe and unlock.
Sure.
So in that situation, can the work profile enforce a passcode on the phone, or if you decide not to enforce a password on the whole phone, Is the stuff in the work profile still protected?
So the short answer is yes. You can, by policy, on a BYOD device, set a full device PIN code should you choose to. And Joe BYOD user will have to learn how to use his fingerprint to get quick access.
And at the end of the day, like we've always said, your BYOD policies have to draw the line somewhere.
Sure. But one of the things you can also do is use the work profile and have a container PIN code, like a work profile PIN code. So when you actually access the work profile, even if, you know, if you want to set up a world where the device itself doesn't have a PIN code, but the work profile does, you can actually set it up that way.
And will that encrypt the work profile even if the device is not?
So the yes, in the case where you're running NuGet and you have these separate encryption keys for work versus personal, you know, yes, you'll end up with data being encrypted. And one of the things we introduced in Pi is the ability to actually set different complexity requirements. So, hey, I want to do a 4-character PIN code as my device PIN code, and then like a 10-character PIN code as my alphanumeric, because you apparently hate your users.
Okay, so like 6-digit PIN codes, you know, I can, like as all of our devices have fingerprint readers and sure. face scanners on whatever, then, you know, I don't care if my passcode is long, but who's actually putting like 10-digit alphanumeric passcodes on their phones?
I've not seen it personally. I've heard about it.
I meet people occasionally when you see somebody and their phone pops up and it pops up the full keyboard and instead of the number pad, it's like, oh, sorry, man.
Well, I think that this is from a policy perspective, one of the challenges that customers run into, which is they take their security policy binder and they blow off the dust from it and they say, passcode policies must be X. And then they take that they take that piece of paper from the binder and they give it to the mobile team and they go implement that.
It's like, hey, an API to require all these crazy requirements, those APIs have been around in the platforms for a long time.
They exist. So. You can do it. Whether or not you should is a different question. And so I think that what I often coach customers on is to say, and I think the EMMs also echo this, which is, you should look toward your existing policies and then figure out how to apply those policies for mobile. You know, because to your point, without biometrics, it is nigh impossible to do a 10-character alphanumeric password and make the phone usable. I do think, though, that one of the things that we, I do think biometrics are a great way to solve for that, which is to say, okay, if you want to put that kind of requirement on the device, fine.
These biometric they're great.
I think biometrics think anybody, is the way to solve for it.
I don't think anybody wants to go back in time with that. Okay, so next Joe user question. You mentioned like, hey, it's like having two phones because you have your work profile, you know, there's a wall in between them, and then you have your personal stuff. So this is a two-part question. First is like, hey, I have two email clients. What's the deal? What about users getting confused with having two copies of an app, or the switching back and forth? Like, what are the options today in Pi for like intermingling the apps on the home screen? Also along these lines, what do I have as the admin in terms of granularity of policies? Like, well, really, we kind of want a more blended experience, and like the wall doesn't have to be that solid. What's there for that as well?
Sure. So I think when you look at this from a user experience perspective, prior to Pi, applications sat by side by side by side, and the way you knew what a work app was is it had a little briefcase on it, and so that little briefcase meant that you were launching the Gmail client that has all your work data inside of it, as opposed to your personal Gmail client.
And so I could have personal Gmail, work Gmail, personal Drive, work Drive,
correct.
All
personal Word.
They're
work
just
word.
Like they're just like normal icons, normal apps that I can put anywhere and access anywhere.
Correct. Yeah. And so you can drag, you know, any apps you want onto the home screen. The way you know that it's the work app is it has a little briefcase next to it.
It's like my home screen today is like, you know, a an evenly blended mixture of work and personal apps. I don't swipe over to the next screen for all the personal apps.
Right. So that is today, and certainly the home screen launcher, even in Pi, works that way.
Okay.
So I can go through, if you look at my home screen, you know, I have work calendar and quick launches for work calendar and personal calendar side by side that I can just, you know, quickly go in and see what I'm supposed to be doing today. What we did though in Pi is we made it really easier to find information. So we surfaced a couple things. One, which was in the actual launcher itself, so not the desktop screen, but the actual launcher, we actually did build separate tabs for work and personal, because we had customers say, you know, I really need to just see at a glance all of my work apps because I'm trying to find something quickly.
And this is by the way, one of my favorite features that I wish other mobile platforms had, where you have the toggle now to be able to just completely shut down the work profile. So it's
let me get to that. So first is launcher and making it like easy just to find, like, hey, show me all the apps that relate to work, because I want to go and really quickly launch Concur. I really want to quickly launch SAP, and you know, I don't want to sort through, you know, Pandora and like 18 other like consumer things that are on my device to find those apps. The second thing we have, and this has actually been something that goes all the way back to Marshmallow, is the ability to turn the work profile off. And so this is, you know, one of the things I mentioned is that when you're using a work profile, the data is actually sitting in two separate user accounts. The processes are actually running separately as two separate processes. And the data is ultimately separated as well. And in addition, so obviously that has all the benefits that work data can't be shared into personal applications. It also means that at the end of the day, I can just turn the work profile off. And that's not like a simple UX trick. We actually just shut down that user account. We say the work user account's no longer allowed to be in memory. So it's my personal notifications still show up. My corporate notifications don't. In fact, those corporate applications don't even consume memory. So they're not consuming battery power. They're not consuming CPU usage. They're not even allowed to run.
And you can the device policy controller can schedule this as well. So if you live in a country where you have strict requirements about not working off hours, your EMM can create a policy that's it shuts off at 5 right. or whatever.
So in Marshmallow, the user could go and through the shade, basically, when you swipe down from the top, you see all the settings icons for things like Wi-Fi and turning off mobile data, putting the phone in airplane mode. And you swipe all the way to the right, there would be an icon that says work profile. And when you hit that, it would turn the work profile off. And so users didn't know that the feature existed because it was a little bit buried, just to be very frank. And so in Pi, when you're in the system, in the actual application launcher, we actually just have the toggle right there. So it's really easy to find. And then
it's the leave your BlackBerry at home when you go on vacation.
Exactly.
Button back when everybody had, you know, a BlackBerry and a Motorola Razr for their personal phone.
Exactly. And so I work in a global role, and so I get emails all the time from different time zones. So I'll get emails at 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning because it's my colleagues in Tokyo, my colleagues in Paris, you know, working their normal daylight hours. And so I turn the work profile off because I still want to be, you know, the phone call from my parents. Oh my God, the house is burning down. I don't want to put the phone in airplane mode or D&D. I just want my work stuff to go away. So I use it all the time. To your point, we certainly, you know, a lot of countries are having these emerging right to disconnect laws. And so you can also set by policy in your EMM, here are what the normal working hours are, automatically shut off the work profile by policy. So that's another approach you can take.
So how about, this is another two-part question, but I've spent a lot of time reading through all the various Android enterprise resources at developers.android and developers.google.com. But in all of those, it seems that there's not like one giant list of like, here's every single policy that you can do with Android Enterprise in the different modes. Is this because some of these still depend on how the EMM implements their DPC? Oftentimes I want to know just like, hey, how, like in a standard Android Enterprise deployment, is this policy available? What are the options? So where should I look to for, if I have that question, like what resources, is there a website that I can look to, documentation? Do I have to ask my EMM?
So let me unpack a couple of different questions there. So a DPC is, for those of you that aren't EMM nerds, as device policy client. It's the client from your EMM, your Enterprise Mobility Management System, that ultimately sets policies on the device. And so as we launch new versions of the operating system and new API levels, that will introduce new features that the EMM can tweak. And to your point, yes, the EMM needs to do work to absorb those features with new clients,
unless they're using the Android Management API. So that's a
well. We'll get into that in a minute. But traditionally, you as the EMM had to absorb those policies, and so Google have often left the question of what's actually supportable in my deployment to the EMMs, because ultimately,
right.
Like we can say something's possible in the dev docs, but it may not actually show up in your own IT environment.
Right, because I can look through the Android developer documentation and see like, well, there's this Android API that mentions this feature, but I'm not a developer, so I don't really know what it means, and I don't know how it's going to be exposed in my EMM.
Right.
So like even the other day I was wondering about like, okay, say like turning on and off like single direction or bidirectional copy and pasting in and out of a work profile. Other than sort of digging around, I'm not really exactly sure where to go to look to find that, like, is that a policy that I can do or not? So yeah, where would you recommend it?
Where I would recommend folks go to is to really look first toward their EMM, because they're going to be the ones that know what's been implemented and what hasn't. And frankly, how to surface those particular settings from a configuration perspective, because calling the API, you know, calling the APIs locally as a developer is not actually how, you know, anybody in IT is going to make it work.
Yeah.
And also that ultimately goes to your features question as well, right? I think when folks are saying, well, hey, I want to see this X, Y, or Z feature in Android, how do I get a hold of Google? All of the major EMMs, all the ones that are validated by Google, have the ability to reach out to our partner engineering teams and thus product management directly. So as customers, you know, we really look to the EMMs as one of many conduits that we, you know, hear from to understand like what are customers caring about, what's working, what's not, that sort of thing. And so I think the first line of defense, if you will, is the are the EMMs, because they're going to have the understanding of exactly how things have been, what they've taken from Google and how those have been implemented for the IT user. But, you know, you alluded to another point, which is, okay, well, how do I make sure that the EMMs are quickly adopting the latest and greatest from Google? Because if we release an API, I'd like it to show up almost day zero, right, in the EMM console. And traditionally, as I mentioned, that meant client-side development by the EMMs. And so recently, we launched what's called the Android Management API. And so the Android Management API is designed to basically simplify the development for EMMs, but potentially other application providers who want to manage Android devices, and really give them one surface area to develop against. And so what that means is, rather than building your own client software to execute all these different knobs and dials that we have, you have one web services call that you make to Google, and then we actually have our own client software that's baked into Google Mobile Services. So it's the same services that run things like Play that you can develop against.
So basically that has a, okay, yeah. So, and this is because part of getting the EMM has to do the day-to-day work that any Android developer has to do of accommodating for different sizes and capabilities of device, and that's just a lot of that's just a treadmill of a lot of work for any that is part of making any client app. So
right.
So they're using instead they're using Google's cloud service. Essentially, it's acting as middleware going to
a policy client that's on the device. That's basically baked into the device.
Okay, so it doesn't even have to be installed separately.
Right.
What about it? Are there scenarios where the EMM wants to go directly to the device, but also like can they use that that client without using the web services, or are those married together?
A bit outside of my technical expertise, because I am not the product manager in charge of that.
I'm just imagining organizations that would like the idea of not developing their own client, but would also like to connect directly to their.
Yeah,
their
I mean,
EMM.
we have seen folks like mix and match technologies. So if you look at like Microsoft as an example, has been using the Android Management API for some of the more dedicated device feature sets, so things like kiosk mode and hardware lockdown that we see being used in field services. They're using the Android Management API to tackle some of those use cases.
And I've seen this question come up, and I think I've seen it answered before, but is the, like in a couple of years, will EMMs creating their own policy clients, will that be less necessary or go away, or maybe some will or some won't?
I think the Android Management API is designed to really simplify development for EMMs. Whether or not the EMMs want to use the Android Management API as a way to manage the device, or whether or not they want to use their own client software and pick up the API calls natively in their client software, it is frankly up to them. Also, whether or not they want to run, you know, maybe they use the Android Management API and then they have their own client software to do additional checks. Maybe they've absorbed, you know, mobile threat defense tools into that client, or identity and access management tools into that client. I think our view of the world is we want to promote choice. And so the EMMs should be able to, you know, and other software developers as well, should be able to, take the hooks they need to execute the functions that their clients, their customers want to do.
And speaking of choice, one of the other recent developments on my mind has been OEM config, and you can explain what OEM config is. But also, when I heard about OEM config, I see that one of the questions is this goes back to how you decide which features are going to be part of Android Enterprise itself versus still being left up to OEMs to implement. And if there's a situation where people get to a point where they're relying much more heavily on OEM specific configs, then like to me, I would want, you know, okay, Android Enterprise, I want to stay close enough to that like, you know, typical users still have a common enough interface. So what is OEM config, and I guess like the 10-second version of how it works for those that might not be familiar?
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. So let's up level a little bit, and because we talked about managed apps and Google Play and the ability for Play to distribute applications down to the device. One of the other things that we have as part of that is what's called managed configurations, and so what that allows you to do is deliver configurations directly into applications deployed on the device. So as an example, your EMM knows who you are and what your username, what your email address is, and what server you need to do to make connect to make this application work. And rather than having the user need to know like how to type in those settings to get in access into a particular application, the EMM can pre-populate those settings directly into the app. So Salesforce has implemented this as an example, where literally you can, if your EMM has delivered these settings, when you pop open Salesforce, the only thing you're doing is typing in your password. Your Salesforce tenant ID, your account credentials, all that stuff is pre-populated, so the only thing you need to do is type in the something you know, which is your password. So really, really extensible framework for app management. What we've heard from customers is there's a lot of hardware configs that Google has access to. So things like Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, APN settings. But what do I do around third-party hardware, like barcode scanners or printers or other peripherals that is coming onto the device, particularly in field services applications where the peripherals tend to multiply? And so we wanted to bring forth a framework that allowed for the customization and management of those OEM hardware-specific features. And OEM is a company that makes hardware. So like a Zebra or a Panasonic or a Honeywell in field services, or for you consumer folks out there, Google or Samsung or Huawei or Nokia. And so how do I manage those hardware-specific features? That's what OEM Config is designed to do. And we're in the process of releasing. It's a feature that we talked about at the Android Enterprise Developer Summit in London back in May. We'll be releasing the developer documents for it in the coming weeks. But the short answer is we co-developed this feature with Zebra to say the OEM ultimately builds an app that gets delivered down to the device, and that app knows how to speak all the different hardware-specific APIs for that vendor. So configure a printer, configure a barcode scanner, and the like. And the EMM has one configuration channel with which to manage that hardware. So they actually use app config as the way to speak, you know, deliver commands down to that custom application to manage the hardware. And there's additional nerdy work in the background to like surface those into UX that makes sense in your EMM, so you're not typing in XML manually.
Right. Sort of the way that the app config has been for the last few years.
Yeah, similar concept. And so that's the goal. And so, because traditionally what it meant was every hardware provider was building their own management APIs that ultimately did the same thing, but they were different. And the EMMs weren't picking those features up quickly enough as new hardware came to market. So the hope is that this gives the EMMs, gives customers a really easy way using their EMM to manage those hardware-specific settings independent of what particular hardware provider they've chosen. And frankly, is good for the hardware providers because as they release new hardware to market, there's not a lag between the hardware coming to market and an EMM picking up the way to manage that peripheral.
And so I should think of this as, you know, you mentioned that it was co-developed with Zebra. So I should think of this more as this is for configuring all those oftentimes hardware-specific settings and everything, and for non-field devices, for office worker devices, most of that will continue to follow under mainstream Android Enterprise APIs.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard for me to predict the future. So like I have no idea what crazy new device like Samsung is going to come out with, or Nokia is going to come out with, or Motorola is going to come out with. We were tackling a problem that is certainly acute in field services and in dedicated ruggedized hardware. But I think the framework is designed to be extensible. So as more OEMs need control over the hardware they bring to market, even in the more knowledge worker, corporate enterprise type scenarios, they can use that framework too.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so we're pretty much at an hour of time, and usually our podcasts are an hour, but also we're on the internet, so it's not like there's another show coming behind us. I had two more basic topic areas to on my mind to get to today. Real quickly, if you don't mind going on. So the first one is this is a more forward looking thing. So contractors. So you know, use cases where you may be putting your enterprise on who knows what unmanaged device. This might be something today where you have to take a like just apps only approach. I mean, could there be a future where somebody could have a phone with a contractor could have work profiles from multiple organizations, or is this something that for the foreseeable future is going to be okay? You need an app with an SDK in it, and that kind of approach. What can you tell me about the future of that, like, way out there BYOD contractor use cases?
I don't think the entire audience is under NDA. I guess what I will say about the future is, watch this space. So I, you know, today the challenge I think you're describing is, you can only have one work profile per device, and that so really it's you have one master, right? So I work for Accenture. Accenture wants to deliver corporate applications to my phone, and so they can use the work profile to do it. And the question is, well, what happens when the client at this of Accenture wants to also deliver applications onto the phone while that Accenture employee is working for Acme Inc.? It's certainly something we hear about. It's something that we're having active discussions on. Watch this space.
Okay. So, and then I will be watching very closely because this I'm sure you've seen over the years this has been a topic I've always been very wonky about writing about these aspects of enterprise mobility management. So as soon as there is anything to share, I hope to be getting an email from
you. You're
on
my speed dial.
Thank you. So the last question, in the last couple of weeks, we've been writing about readers will recognize it, will have seen the articles about Fortnite for Android. So obviously, you know, Epic is distributing Fortnite outside of the Play Store, and common knowledge that, you know, I don't think anybody will disagree, except for a commenter on one of our articles last week. But most people will agree that that staying within the Play Store keeps all your Android users much, much safer. Now, we can argue about all the reasons why, like, hey, Epic maybe could have gotten, you know, easier exposure by going in the Play Store and whatever. But I like to uplevel to the conversation to think to an area. Where this brings back to the question of, like, what is acceptable behavior of a BYOD user? And what if we do get to a place where BYOD users expect to be having that much more freedom with their personal devices, that they want to be installing apps from outside of the Play Store? And so I know there are a couple of different things that could be going on. Play Protect and the other services could be watching over the device and looking for malware.
Yeah.
So that's the situation as it is now. What's the Android Enterprise or your personal comment or thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think one, we really see Play as a great mechanism for developers to release into your, you know, to your point, like, surface those applications, to handle things like monetization, refund, and frankly, to handle security. Like I mentioned this earlier, that Google Play can actually be used to distribute your internal apps, and Google Play Protect is constantly scanning applications that go through Play to understand whether or not those apps are potentially harmful. That also means, like, if you're an enterprise developer, like, we're looking and saying, hey, you know, you may have contracted this app out. There are, you know, libraries that are out of date that could introduce an SSL vulnerability, or there's libraries that are out of date that could be, you know, causing other issues. So we're actually looking into the internal apps as well that you distribute. And so there's a lot of good that Play brings. We ultimately think about, I think what's unfortunate, like my own personal view, is that it's unfortunate that we've seen so many malware variants come out so quickly that are ultimately duping users into install, like, quote unquote, installing Fortnite. You can't see the finger quotes on the radio, but yeah. I'm using them actively. And so what I would say is we really think about, if I look at this from an enterprise perspective, I have to think about this as a defense in depth type problem. So what are the types of things that that malware might do? Well, it might try and root the device and install things that compromise the operating system, compromise the encryption keys, try to install backdoors.
Right. Because I think one thing is that malware, we should, like, on the one hand, we could have, oh, the slightly annoying app that's trying to steal all of my contacts so they can spam them or do some, you know, maybe some, you know, ad click or premium SMS fraud. That's
right.
It's doing bad things for sure, but it's not compromising the integrity of the device.
Right.
Versus something that's it's going to go and try to use a some vulnerability to do something much more damaging and root my device. Like, can in that case, like, could my, because if I have a work profile on that device, could that DPC like have root detections built into the DPC?
There's a whole library that we have at Google called SafetyNet. And SafetyNet has a couple of features in it that are relevant to this conversation. One is SafetyNet attestation, which allows you to query the underlying hardware. So when Android boots, each stage of the boot process is cryptographically verified along the way. So you're basically, the next stage in the boot process looks to the previous stage and makes sure that it booted correctly. And you can go through all those stages to understand whether or not the hardware has been compromised and whether or not the underlying operating system has been compromised. And so SafetyNet attestation is a way to understand, has the device been rooted, or are there other things that may be compromising the underlying integrity of things like the file system, encryption keys, and whatnot.
And so my device policy controller, which after the work profile is installed, it lives within the work profile.
So your EMM app could use those libraries. Apps that you build as an enterprise can go and use those libraries to understand the device security state. The other API we have is one that's called Verify Apps. And so we talked about Google Play Protect scanning all the apps inside Google Play. It also looks at apps that are on your device that may have been installed from other third-party sources to understand whether or not those are potentially harmful as well. And so Verify Apps queries and asks, when this device was last scanned, was anything bad found? And you can surface that up to the EMM or to some other conditional access platform to basically say, hey, Google Play Protect has found that malware is on this device. Let's no longer allow either, you know, deinflate the work profile or remove corporate applications, block access at an identity access management platform, whatever policy you think should be chosen. And then certainly on fully managed devices, so devices that you own where you're controlling the full device, you can go through and issue by policy the ability to disable unknown sources. So you can actually say, I think all these conditional checks are things you should be doing anyway, but if you have devices that you own, you can also turn off unknown sources programmatically. So to provide, again, that additional degree of confidence that, you know, bad actors aren't ending up on the device. So there's lots of things that I think enterprises can look toward to ensure the integrity of an Android operating system, and that's going to be a continued investment area going forward.
Well, so there are lots of exciting things going on. So to bring this to a close, so we're at like an hour and 10 minutes now, so that's been great. And I go out in my role as an EMM blogger, when I go out into the world and talk to people that aren't in the EMM space, I'm also sort of evangelizing when people say like, hey, what's going on in EMM these days? And so when I do that, I relay the excitement that I hear from all aspects of the industry about what Android Enterprise is doing right now. So that's pretty fun. And by the way, I should mention, so I heard a few weeks ago, maybe hopefully you can confirm for me, the E in Android Enterprise is capitalized now.
You can now capitalize the E should you choose to. Here's the fun-filled grammatical journey that we've been on. So Android Enterprise, like, people get confused and they look at Android Enterprise and they go, is that a separate variant of Android in the way that Android Things, capital T,
right,
is not the same Android that is on your phone? And so we've gone through, and we really want people to understand, is that what we focus on is the stock Android that is on your smartphone or your tablet, or frankly, the Android apps that are running on your Chromebook. Managed Play is now available on Chromebooks now, on 50 different Chromebook models. And that gives you this full suite of capabilities to manage devices, manage corporate data, and deploy applications, and ultimately make users productive. And so we didn't want people thinking, because it used to be in the days of Lollipop, certain devices had Android and Android for work functions, and some didn't. And we really wanted the ecosystem to understand that it's really widely available. We wanted, frankly, customers to understand that too.
So we really should just say, like, the EMM API is in Android.
It should just be Android. If I had my druthers, it would be Android.
Yeah.
But I think what, you know, we certainly, because there's a lot of history and we talked about earlier and approaches out there, you know, we do want people to understand that there's a legacy approach, like device administrator was a really set of basic APIs to set a passcode and do full device wipe. And as of Android Pie, we've deprecated a lot of those enterprise functions like password complexity away from device admin, because we want people to be looking toward this modern framework, if only because of the sheer amount of new and exciting features that allow enterprises to be productive with it.
Yeah, well, so...
But we also know grammatically it gets tricky, so we allow people to capitalize the E.
Yeah. Well, hey, so this has been... This has been a pleasure. Like, as I mentioned in the introduction, we've done, well, now what, 133 podcasts over the years, and this is the first time that we've had anybody like representing the strategy of the platform. So this is really cool, and I think a lot of the listeners will really appreciate hearing directly from the Android Enterprise team. So thank you for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
For listeners or users that obviously said their EMM is one of their first line places where they should go, but also you're on Twitter at @skinnevin. So follow Sean there on Twitter, and of course we're always here on Twitter at Jack Madden, and my colleague Kyle is at Kyle Johnson TTGT. Also, our site account is Geekout365, is that right? Okay. Well, again, thank you very much. It was a pleasure having you.
Let's do it again soon.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you, everybody, for listening.